Coming up on sports and stuff, I'll talk all about the end of the regular baseball season and the beginning of the 2022 NFL season. I'll also talk about the upcoming fall season for TV shows and discuss the 50th anniversary of The Price is Right. All this and plenty more coming up on sports and stuff on EPRN and all other media platforms.
Your number one internet radio station.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. www.eprn.us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sports and Stuff. Glad to be with you. It's been a while since I've done a podcast, but glad you could join us for this edition of Sports and Stuff here on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. I'm John Meisner. And it's been a little while since I've been with you. It's been about a minute, but glad to be back with you folks as we get towards the end of the summer, and fall is just a couple weeks away. So temperatures are going to start cooling down pretty soon. But summer's not quite over yet, and baseball season's not over yet, so I'm going to talk all about that. So we'll start by talking about the Red Sox here, shall we? You know, they don't have too much else to play for at this point, for the last month of the season. I mean, they're at least 8 or 9 games out of the wild card race. They don't have that much to play for. It's not very likely they're going to make the playoffs unless they go on a long winning streak and win like 10 or 15 in a row or something like that, which I just don't see happening at this point because they've really struggled against their own division. If the Red Sox don't make the playoffs, which it looks like at this point that's probably to be the case, they will not have made the playoffs for two key reasons. One of them is, like I said, not playing well against teams in your own division. And the other reason is because their bullpen has blown a lot of leads this year. Now, not every pitcher out of their bullpen has been bad. There actually have been a couple good ones, and John Schreiber and Matt Strom, and Matt Barnes has actually been better late in the year. It took him a while to get his confidence back, but he seems to have found it at least, but it seems like it's too late. The bullpen's just blown way too many leads late in games this year, especially early on in the year, when they were off to a bad start, and July and August they weren't all that great. July was they were horrible, and the pitching and the defense were the main reasons why. But still, the bullpen needs to be reconstructed. There's a lot of question marks for the Red Sox going into the off season. The two biggest ones are Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers. They need to bring Bogaerts back. He is the leader of this team. He is the captain. He's not the, you know, he hasn't been designated the captain, but I think he should be. I mean, he wants to spend his whole career with the Red Sox. I could tell he does. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. I mean, he's probably willing to take a discount on his contract to stay in Boston. Devers, I'm not so sure about. I think it'll probably come down more to money with him. It'll really come down to dollars and cents and how much he wants for a contract extension. I wouldn't be surprised if it's like $200 or $300 million at least, or like a 10-year deal, something crazy. It's going to be like a Mike Trout or a Bryce Harper kind of deal, or something big like that, because he is a superstar. But Devers, I could see Devers, I'm just guessing, maybe like a 6-7 year deal, or an 8-year deal, maybe. I'll say like a 7-year deal or something. Devers is probably going to get at least a 10 or 12 year deal or something at some point. He will get paid a lot, but Devers and Bogaerts are the cornerstones of this team on the left side of the infield, and they know it and we know it. You know, they want to be in Boston. I can tell they can handle the pressure in Boston. They've proven they can. But Bogaerts is just so solid. I mean, he hasn't put up a lot of home runs this year, but he's hitting for a good batting average. He went 9 straight games recently with at least 2 hits in each game. And not too many Red Sox players in the history of their team have done that. Only just about 2 or 3 of them. Kevin Youkilis, Jim Rice, to name a couple. That's pretty good company right there. So he deserves to stay in Boston. He wants to, and I mean, people have been begging and pleading on TV and in the media for them to re-sign Bogaerts to an extension, and I'll add my my pleading to that as well. If Chaim Bloom, please re-sign Xander Bogaerts and Devers too, but definitely Bogaerts at least. This team would be foolish to not bring either one of them back or both. So yeah, Chaim Bloom's gonna have a lot of decisions to make in the offseason. First of all, is, you know, like I said, Bogaerts and Devers. They've already re-signed Kike Hernandez to a one-year contract for next year, which is nice. He's a good player. I mean, he got hurt this year, but he's proven he's a good solid player when he's healthy. So made a good decision to bring him back for next season. But the biggest question marks are gonna be in the pitching. I could definitely see Brian Bayo as a starter for next season. It took him a few games to find his rhythm at the major league level and get comfortable, but he looks to be a lot more comfortable now than he was when he first came up. So, I think they'll find a spot for him in the rotation, for one thing. So, Bayo's, I could see him being in the rotation. You know, assuming Chris Sale does start the season healthy and completely recovered from his injuries, he'll be in the rotation. I don't remember if Nathan Eovaldi's a free agent or not. I think he might be. I think he is, because when they gave him a four-year extension after they won in 2018, I think it was through the end of the 2022 season. So they're going to have to decide if they're going to bring him back. I think Eovaldi is worth keeping. He's reliable and he's solid and throws the ball hard, 100 miles an hour, so he definitely gives you innings. And as a veteran, so I'd say they keep him. But as far as the bullpen goes, they need to get rid of Ryan Brazier. He's one of the reasons that the bullpen's blown so many leads is because he's been so bad this year. All he throws is his fastball most of the time, and hitters have been pounding it. He relies too much on it, and it's hurt him. He was good in 2018 when we won, but only because he hadn't pitched in the major leagues in several years, so that was why nobody could figure out how to hit him. Now that he's been in the league for a few years now, now they figure out how to hit the fastball. So Brazier's, he's either got to add another pitch to his mix or the team just needs to get rid of him. Because they got rid of Hansel Robles, thankfully, this year, and now they may need to follow suit with Brazier. I just don't think he's worth keeping at this point. Maybe for like a, you know, a some other team that's not as good, but not in Boston. I don't think so. This team just hasn't had a closer really for this year. I mean, I guess Barnes, as of the last month, has kind of, you know, reestablished his role as the closer, but this team just hasn't had a closer for most of the year. It's been bullpen by committee, and that is not the recipe for a championship. You know, you need a closer. I mean, you need to have an ace that's healthy, and you need a closer if you're going to make the playoffs and go on a deep playoff run. You can't just have bullpen by committee. You got to have a proven closer. Barnes was that at the beginning of last year, but he hasn't been that for much of this season or the end of last year either. So I don't know what they're going to do with him, if they're going to keep him or go after somebody in free agency, but they need a closer. So that would be another thing they'd have to add on their to-do list if they want to compete for a championship. And it'll be a little easier next year for not just for the Red Sox but for all of baseball, because they're actually going to reconfigure the schedule to where every team will play every other team in the majors at least once, which means less games against your own division. Now this works out because it balances it out a little better, and you're not playing each other 18 or 19 times. It's only going to be like 13 games against divisional opponents. But the problem with that is it creates not as much of a rivalry. They're a lot harder to come by because there's less games. So I kind of have mixed feelings about it, but I could see the upside in it. It's definitely a lot more balanced. You get to see teams you don't, you know, usually see or haven't seen in the past that much, so it's good for baseball. You know, it gives the fans the chance to see other players on other teams that they wouldn't normally see otherwise without the reconfigured schedule. So that's a good thing baseball's doing. So, but at least as far as the Red Sox go, they're going to really enjoy that because they have not been playing well against, especially Tampa and Toronto this year, who have just ate them alive. They've had their number, those teams, and Baltimore hasn't been much easier because they've been, they've had a nice year this year. The Orioles have. I hope they make the playoffs, but and the Yankees haven't done too bad against, but still, it's Tampa and Toronto that has just been, ugh, it's been ugly. I hate that they go down to Tampa like they did recently. I've thought this for years. Tampa needs to get out of Tampa and get out of that dome of theirs in St. Petersburg and, Tropicana Field. That place is a dump. It has just bad lighting and bad everything. There's catwalks and a bunch of junk up in the ceiling, and it's indoors. It's just, baseball's meant to be played outside. They just need to get out of there at some point, but that's for later, I guess. But at least what to look forward to for next season, if you're a big baseball fan, is it's been talked about, and I believe this is going to happen. They are going to put a pitch clock in, thankfully, to speed the pace of the game up. What I'm reading is it looks like it's going to be a 15-second pitch clock for pitchers with no men on base, 20 seconds when there are base runners, and there's a bunch of other little things, too. I think a batter can only call time, or the pitcher can call timeout twice in an at-bat, I think. They're expanding the size of each of the bases by a few feet. Or a few inches. A few inches. A few feet would be too big, but by just a few inches. And there's other things. I read them earlier. I'm trying to remember. Let me think for a second. Probably something with mound visits is going to be limited as well. And the infielders can only have two men on each side of second base, which is good because it sounds like they're trying to get rid of the shift, which I like, because the problem with the shift is it takes away too much offense and the game's become too reliant on analytics, which is ridiculous. The baseball's not to be it is a numbers game, but it's too much of a numbers game. The nerds have taken over baseball. It's relying too much on analytics and it's made the product worse. I mean, strikeouts are at an all-time high because everybody's throwing almost 100 miles an hour, or at least 95 when you pitch. And the shift takes away a lot of hits. I mean, some people say, well, oh, just hit the ball where they're not. Well, some guys can't do that. they want to hit where they're capable of hitting. So, I mean, it's good for the game. It's, the game needs more offense and more action on the base paths. Faster pace, more action, more hits. It's going to do a lot of good for the game, and it'll bring some fans and actually keep their attention, because the thing with today's society is a lot of people, especially younger millennials on social media, they can't keep their attention for that long, more than a few seconds. So it's time that baseball finally did that. I'm glad they're going to put a pitch clock in. I'm all for it. I'm all for that and getting rid of the shift and not allowing guys to position themselves where they would not normally be. It's going to be a good thing for baseball. I really do. I mean, people will make the argument that, oh, it's a thinking man's game, you can't speed it up. Well, look how many people are watching the game. I mean, older people. Younger fans just don't want to tune in and watch a 3-hour game or longer. But by speeding it up, it'll hopefully draw more fans in and get people a little more excited. So we'll see. Next season's going to be very interesting. I'm looking forward to the changes. I think it's time. I think it's long overdue. Really. And with the three wild cards, it'll keep more teams in the mix for the, for the playoffs. It's going to be interesting what they do with that this year. I like that they've added a third wild card. I actually had to look up to see how it was going to work because I was a little confused by it. The way it's going to work, it's going to be teams seeded 1 through 6, three division winners, three wild cards. And as people probably know by now, the three wild cards are the teams with the three best records outside the non-division winners. And it will go, top two seeds get a bye. They don't actually have to play against the teams in the wild card round when they first start the playoffs. So it's going to go 3 through 6 and 4 through 5. So in other words, the team with the third best record of the division winners will go up against the 6th seed, which is going to be, or in other words, the third wild card, but which is technically the worst of the three, so of the 6. So it'll be like that, and then the 4th seed will be the top wild card against the 5th seed, which is the second wild card. So hopefully that makes sense to everybody. So just imagine 1, 2, 3 in the wild card is technically 4, 5, and 6 for the when you're looking at things as a whole for the 6 seeds in each league. That's how it's going to be. But like I said, it keeps more teams in the mix, which is exciting. And then if you get into like tiebreakers, then it gets really confusing. But it's fun. It definitely keeps you, you know, on your toes and paying attention. So that's good. but yeah, I'd like to see Baltimore make the playoffs this year. I don't think the Blue Jays have the pitching to make it. They've got the bats to make it, but I don't think they have quite enough pitching. Baltimore has proven once and for all after several years, they finally have a pitching staff that can win games. They have starters. They have an excellent bullpen. They've got a good winning attitude. They've got young guys that can hit. They've got a good offense. I'd like to see them make some noise in the playoffs, and I think they're going to. I really do. I feel good about their chances, and Tampa should get a wild card too, with their good pitching staff. They run into a lot of outs on the base paths, but they make up for it with their pitching at least. But I'll tell you, folks, this one team I haven't mentioned much so far is the Yankees. I love them, seeing them collapse as a Red Sox fan. I hope they don't end up winning the division after having, what was it, a 16.5 game lead at one point, or 15.5 or something. It's now down to like 5, I think, now. The Red Sox still have a few games left with the Yankees. If they can win those games and play spoiler, it's going to be a very close finish for the Yankees. Do they end up, you know, losing the division? They could still get a wild card conceivably, but to see them possibly lose the division after having that big of a, after having a stranglehold on that division for most of the season, or at least the first half. I mean, people thought they were going to run away and hide back in May or June with like a 20 game lead or something, but it's, but no, it has not worked out that way. They've run out of gas. Their pitching hasn't been as good. Their hitting hasn't been as good, other than Aaron Judge, who's having an amazing year. Probably going to hit 60 home runs at least. That team's in trouble. I don't think they're going to come out of the American League. I think it'll probably be the Astros. Could be an Astros-Dodgers World Series again, like it was back in 2017. You know, Dodgers are just loaded. Loaded this year. They're going to win like 110 games. Yeah, National League's probably a little more exciting with the Cardinals and the, you know, with Albert Pujols in his final year. Yeah, Pujols is going to hit 700 home runs. He's on pace to do it. It's going to be a beautiful story when he does in his final year. Mets, Braves are neck and neck in the NL East. Cardinals are leading over the Brewers in their division, and like I said, the Dodgers are just running away with it out there in California. So it's going to be a very exciting playoff race, more in the National League than in the American League. But it's going to be good. It's going to be a very fun playoff season. Can't wait. So, with that, we will take a break here on Sports and Stuff. When we come back, we're going to talk a little football, and we'll preview the start of the TV seasons for the month of September. More Sports and Stuff continues after this. You're listening to EPRN. I'm John Meisner, host of Sports and Stuff. Listen into my podcasts and all of the podcasts on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Download and bookmark the EPRN app. Go to app.eprn.us, and you can always tune in at www.eprn.us. Sports and Stuff continues right now. You're listening to Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. And wherever you're listening, feel free to download the Sports and Stuff app today. The app is out on Google and Apple Play and wherever podcasts are available. And also feel free to download the EPRN app. We've got a lot of many great podcast shows on our network, so download that today, the EPRN app, just like it's spelled out, those letters. And we're always adding good content to our network. including sports and stuff. So check it out. Download EPRN app today. And so we'll continue on here by talking some beginning of the football season. Game one of the NFL season was held on Thursday night, September 8th. In a good season opener between the Bills and the Rams, the Super Bowl champion Rams, and boy, Buffalo dominated this game. It's a little sloppy at times. There were a few too many turnovers both ways, but still, Buffalo proved they are the best team in the AFC East. I know Patriots fans don't like me saying that, but they are. I mean, they're the team to beat in that division. The two games they're going to play against the Patriots are going to be a dogfight. But yeah, the Bills are out for some revenge. You know, they lost a heartbreaker in the playoffs, as a lot of people remember, with 13 seconds left. I mean, that was a classic. Incredible. One of the best playoff games in recent memory, for sure, against Kansas City. Still can't believe Kansas City didn't go to the Super Bowl last year. They just couldn't get past Cincinnati, but still, heck of a game. That was the best game of the playoffs, dude, that Buffalo-Kansas City game. Oof. But I am glad football at least made the change for the playoffs to make it so that each team will get a possession of the football no matter what, as opposed to, you know, if you get a touchdown first, you win the game, or if you kick a field goal, then the other team gets one possession. That never made sense, why a team who scores a field goal first doesn't win the game and the other team gets one possession, but if you get a touchdown the first possession, the game's over. That just didn't make sense to me. Glad they're changing it for the playoffs, at least. I'd like to see them do that for the regular season too, but they're probably just going to settle with ties and keep it at that if it's tied after overtime. So I like that they're doing that for the playoffs. And other than that, not too many noticeable rule changes that I'm aware of yet. But I liked that one anyway. Yeah, I think after just the way that game ended, you know, fans were just miffed in Buffalo that their team didn't get a possession after the Chiefs scored in the overtime. So, but yeah, the end of that game was amazing. It was just incredible. But yeah, Buffalo is definitely the team to beat in the AFC East, possibly in the whole AFC, along with Kansas City. So yeah, Josh Allen and that team, boy, look out. He's a great quarterback. Some people can make the case he might be a little better than Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he can throw and run. Mahomes can throw, but I mean, I guess he can run somewhat, but not as well as Allen can. Josh Allen's an excellent athlete, great athlete. but still, Mac Jones, at least as far as the Patriots are concerned, he should be better in year two. Had a nice rookie season. I expect him to be better. He's already put a lot of work in training camp, from what I've read. But speaking of football, I can't go this show without mentioning Tom Brady. boy, did he make headlines. Just a few in the offseason. First, he says he's retiring. Then he comes back. Well, first they announced it too soon before he was ready to talk about it. Then he actually comes out and says he's retiring. And then he unretires and comes back. And then he decides not to play a lot of the preseason for Tampa Bay because he needed time to himself. Well, I guess if you're the GOAT, you can probably, you know, request time off at your leisure. Other quarterbacks, other players don't have that luxury, but Brady does with all his success. But still, Brady's, you know, and I mentioned Buffalo kind of getting snubbed last year in the playoffs from Kansas City. I mean, so did Tampa. I mean, they made a spectacular comeback against the Rams and just gave up in the final seconds of that game in the playoffs. So they're definitely going to come back with a vengeance this year to try to get back and possibly win a Super Bowl. Be great for the, you know, for Brady to retire as a champion. I think that's what he wants to do. He wants one more. I mean, this will probably be his last season regardless, but I'd love to see him end his career with a championship. Be great for him to go out with 8. Oh, man. Something else. Yeah, I just don't see anybody ever breaking Brady's record of 7 or 8 in football. I just don't. I think it's insurmountable, honestly. Yeah, he's definitely the greatest. Yeah. See if he gets one more. Well, should be interesting. Wouldn't it be something if Buffalo actually gets to the Super Bowl and has to face Brady and the Bucks? I mean, because Brady dominated them for many years when he was with New England, when Buffalo was a bad team. I mean, just when the Buffalo Bills actually get to be a championship team, and then they have to face Brady and the Bucks, I feel so bad for that team. I mean, anybody else, I'd pick Buffalo, but against Tampa, I'd have to go with Brady. he's even beat them when they're in recent years when they've actually been really good, the Bills. So, yeah, he's definitely had their number. Yeah, I wouldn't expect the Bills to win that game if that were the case. So yeah, Brady can't even beat them, you know, good or bad. Because that's what he does. He wins. But still, Buffalo wins the first game of the season against, like I said, the reigning Super Bowl champion Rams. The score was 31-10. Like I said, a lot of turnovers, a little sloppy at times. The Rams didn't play their best. Matthew Stafford didn't play his best. Was okay in the first half, but just not good in the second half. The Bills just took over that game and ran away with it, winning by 3 touchdowns. So the Bills are 1-0. The Patriots, in their first week of the season, are going to play the Miami Dolphins this Sunday on September 11th. That'll be down in Miami. This will be a tough one. The Patriots haven't always had success in Miami over the years. And that team is on the rise down there. I didn't like their decision getting rid of Brian Flores at the end of last season. That was really a bad move after they, you know, he brought some hope to that city, to that team. That was really bad. I can understand him being so, you know, ticked off of that. But still, to go down to Miami, you know, if you're the New England Patriots, who are used to playing in cold weather, it's an adjustment. It's not easy, you know, down there with the stadium and the fans and the weather. So it's going to be a good game. It should go back and forth. I think it'll be close. I'd like to say the Patriots are going to win, but if Miami wins, I can understand, because, you know, they just seem to play with a little more confidence against the Patriots at home. It's like the one city we've always struggled in for a while now. Yeah, that and Denver. But for some reason, they seem to have a hard time in Miami. But it should be a competitive game, though, for sure. The Patriots have a tough schedule their first month. They face the Dolphins on week 1. Then they face, I think, the Steelers in week 2. And then they have Green Bay in there as well. And that's going to be a really hard game to win going into Green Bay against Aaron Rodgers. I don't like our chances on that one, but still, they got that, and then I forget who they finish off the first month against. I don't have a schedule in front of me, but still, they got two good games against at least Miami and then eventually Green Bay later on, but yeah, Pittsburgh, that's another team to think about. The Steelers, I mean, I think it's safe to say they're in rebuilding mode now that Roethlisberger is retired. Yeah, I don't see that team exactly being a playoff contender anytime soon. I mean, come on. Who's going to replace Ben Roethlisberger? He meant so much to that team and that city. Anyone's going to... I don't envy whoever's going to come in. I don't even know who their quarterback is, honestly, to start the season. I have no idea. I haven't heard a single word out of Pittsburgh. But whoever it is, good luck. Because you're going to need it. The team's not configured all that great. Even last year, the last couple of years, Roethlisberger had to make the most out of what he had, which was a good offense, but not the best defense. So we'll see. I don't see the Steelers being all that great. I'll say they go like 6-11 or something like that. Yeah, it could be a long year for Steelers Nation. So that's one thing to look out for. And I already mentioned Brady. But I'm just glad football's back. It feels like such a long spring and summer waiting for week 1. Now it's here, and it's going to be fun and exciting. Oh, and one other thing I wanted to mention too about football, as far as, you know, the national games go. One thing I did notice and read about was that Al Michaels is no longer at NBC Sports. He is no longer announcing the Sunday night football games for NBC. He's now calling Thursday night games on Amazon. It was rumored going back to last season. It's official. He is now calling the Thursday night games for on Amazon, Amazon Prime, and whatever the games are going to be airing. In general, I don't like Thursday night football because I think it's just not a good day of the week to watch football. It's, I mean, you have Sunday and then really Monday night football. I mean, you don't need a Thursday night game. Like, come on. Too much of anything is bad. Okay, and they always have like bad teams that are bad every year. Not a good idea. I've never liked it. I think they should get rid of it. But I guess if Al Michaels is doing it, I guess it's probably worth listening to. But I'm not a fan of it. Never have been. but good for Michaels. You know, big career change for him going to Amazon of all places, Amazon Prime. So he's going to announce games there, and Mike Tirico's become pretty much the main guy on NBC now. I like Mike Tirico. He's a really good announcer. He's got a great voice, very easy to listen to, very likable. Not a fan of Chris Collinsworth. I don't think a lot of people are with the, you know, there's the guy who coming out of high school was a great draft pick. It's like, shut up. Just watch the game. You don't have to talk about everything. Yeah, he's annoying. You talk about a guy who's gonna go into the whatever. You've probably heard him before. Yeah. A little too much of a hillbilly, I think. It's kind of silly and goofy. But Mike Tirico makes it good, so glad he's there. Yeah, we'll have another season of Jim Nance and Tony Romo on CBS. I love Jim Nance. Can't wait to hear his voice again and Tony Romo's energy. So that'll be fun. It'll be good. And another shakeup too in football's Joe Buck is now going to be the main primary announcer on Monday Night Football. I'm kind of glad, honestly, because I was getting tired of hearing him on Fox and hearing his droll voice over and over again. Just hearing him just do the Monday night games is probably all I care to hear him. And I'm probably not even going to listen to him much on there. So, good. Good riddance. Yeah, I think it was either him and Troy Aikman or just Buck that went over to ESPN. One of the two. I forget exactly what it was, but I know at least he's on ESPN now. And so that's a shakeup at Fox. I think Kevin Burkhart's going to do the key games for Fox, I think. He's fine. I don't have a problem with him. So that's a big shakeup there with Joe Buck. You hear a lot less of him, which will be nice. And then he'll just do regular season games because Monday Night Football is strictly a regular season matchup. So good riddance to Joe Buck. Not going to miss him much, the less we hear him. Yeah. So, anyway, we'll take another break here on sports and stuff. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about the upcoming TV seasons and talk about the 50th anniversary of The Price is Right. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more sports and stuff after these words.
What's up, Highlight fans and Highlight Channel viewers? It's Tanara Davis, a.k.a. Jetta from Magic City Highlight. Hey guys, stay in tune to Magic City Highlight and also tune into weekly head-to-head recaps on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network Sports and Stuff Podcast. Right now, if you signed up to be a listener member of EPRN, you could be one of 200 lucky winners of the Magic City Highlight EarPods giveaway. So if you want to be one of the lucky winners, go to earpods.eprn.uts. It's free to join and to enter, so do it. So take it from me, the only NFL Super Bowl champion in the world of highlight, go to earpods.eprn.us and get those earpods.
Sports and stuff continues right now on EPRN and wherever other podcasts are heard. And I've already talked a lot about sports on the show this week. Let's get into some other stuff here. Let's get into some entertainment here. looking forward to the TV seasons, personally, at least as far as game shows are concerned. Not as much the weekly primetime shows, but definitely for game shows. New seasons of Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy start September 12th. Wheel of Fortune is going to be celebrating its 40th anniversary in nighttime. Boy, that's a big milestone. 40 seasons with Pat and Vanna. That's going to be fun. They're going to be doing a couple new features that I don't know a whole lot about. We'll just have to wait and see. I've read what one of them is, but I'll let everybody else just see it for themselves. I'll just say it has to do with the number 40, being that it's its 40th season. That's all I'm going to say. But still, for Jeopardy, I'm very much looking forward to the Tournament of Champions in end of October and throughout November, and their Second Chance Weeks. For those that don't know, they're adding a Second Chance element to their Tournament Champions, where they're going to invite two former losing contestants who played well in their game they lost in a couple of week-long Second Chance Weeks. To determine the two of the participants in the tournament. So that's going to be exciting, seeing all the super champions back from last year. Boy, I don't think anything could follow up last season on Jeopardy. I just don't see it happening. I mean, unless they have a lot of super champions again, but I just I don't know. I don't see that happening again. I think last season was just one in a million between, you know, Amy Schneider, Matt Imodio, Mateo Roach, and goodness, Ryan Long and Jonathan Fisher. They had like five people win more than 10 games. Ridiculous. But at least it'll be nice that there'll be a little more consistency with the hosts, with Ken Jennings and Mayim Bialik. So that'll be good. I'm looking forward to that. Very anticipating the Tournament of Champions when they do eventually get to it. So that'll be fun to look forward to. And I have to talk about The Price is Right for a minute. What a huge milestone that show celebrated earlier this week. 50th anniversary on CBS. God bless them. I mean, the show's not as good as it used to be, I'll be honest. But you have to celebrate it for the history behind it and what that show has meant to Americana. 50 years of fun and excitement and spontaneity and all the contestants they've had over the years, and Bob Barker, of course, deserves a lot of credit having hosted for the first 35 years. And I will say, though, you know, even though Drew Carey does get some flack and he's not always liked by everybody, especially the purists out there, he has done a good job of making the show his own. I will say that he's definitely brought in a new wave of fans the last 15 years. So there's something to be said. I mean, he's done a good job of just making it his own. And the show had a daytime episode to celebrate the occasion. They had a primetime two-hour special last season, but this was a special daytime episode they were doing. Yeah, they tried to give away $1 million and to make it, you know, exciting and add a little pizzazz. And they had like a nice luxury car in there too. But still, 50 years is, I mean, I'll be honest, not many shows in television history have been on for 50 years. I mean, that is very rarefied air. I mean, The Price is Right, of course, is one of them. I guess if you want to count the daytime shows, I mean, Wheel of Fortune has technically been on for almost 50 years, going back to 1975. I mean, Jeopardy's been on for 38 seasons now in syndication. They're starting season 39 this week. So they'll eventually get to 40 seasons. It'll get to 40. I don't know about, maybe it'll get to 50 at some point, but still, only a few shows have ever made it this long. The Price is Right's one of them, like I said. The Today Show is another on NBC. A few of the NBC shows have been on for a long time. The Today Show, The Tonight Show, Meet the Press. Meet the Press is the longest running. That goes back to 1947. So that's been on for, oh God, 75 years? Oh my goodness. That's three quarters of a century. That's unbelievable. It goes back to even radio. I mean, it was on TV when not a lot of people had TVs. Meet the Press. You know, every Sunday. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, I think only a few shows have ever been on for 50. I think Sesame Street's another one. That goes back to 1969. What's another one? Oh, 60 Minutes. That's it's a little trivia for everybody here. So yeah, for a show to be on for, you know, five decades or longer, it's gotta be a simple, timeless format that just never dies. It just never goes away. And some of these shows have definitely, you know, proved the test of time. You know, not just The Price is Right, but the other shows I mentioned. You know, the Today Show and the Tonight Show. You know, people got to wake up in the morning and hear the news, what's going on. And people like some laughs before they go to bed at night. So that's what the Tonight Show is good for, the late night stuff. You know, Meet the Press, of course, is timeless. You know, because politics are always, you know, news is, you know, a constant. And game shows are always fun and happy and exciting to play along with. So there's definitely shows that I just don't think are ever going to go off the air. Saturday Night Live is another one that's been on for almost 50 years. It started in 1975. I mean, people love to be, you know, to see sketch comedies once a week, get their laughs. So that's definitely has a place in television history. So yeah, there's definitely some shows that have proven the test of time, but it's not very many. There's definitely something to be said. There's something to be said about how timeless these things are, and that they'll just never go away. And they definitely have audiences, all of them. But especially The Price is Right. Like, 50 years. Amazing. Just amazing. I'll always have memories of that show. Not just having, you know, watched it a lot, but as a kid, just being home from school, seeing Bob and hearing Rod Roddy, the announcer, you know, "I know Carr, come on down," you know, his voice and his way it would crack when it got excited. Yeah. It's just wonderful. Great show. All these years. And all the people behind the scenes as well that have produced it. They deserve a lot of credit. You know, especially in the years past. But, but still, just a special week last week for The Price is Right. You know, September 4th, 1972. 50 years. Unbelievable. So that's at least as far as game shows go. They think Pictionary is going to come back as a game show with Jerry O'Connell, who's been on the Talk on CBS. He's going to host a new version of that show. They're also going to have a lot of other daytime stuff. I didn't remember all the details exactly, but I mean, Drew Barrymore's coming back again for this season. I don't know if Kelly Clarkson is or not. Can't remember. But still, the primetime shows, at least, you know, there's always some, you know, new ones every year. Some work out, some don't. It's just kind of the way it is. So I'm looking forward to a new season of The Wonder Years on ABC. I'm excited to see what they're going to continue to, how that's going to evolve with the current cast, you know, in that time period. So that'll be nice to see that again. Yeah, I'm looking forward to new seasons of the revivals, because I'm, you know, everything old is new again, so it'll be nice to see those again. I mean, some people don't like the revivals. I'm willing to give them a chance anyway, so it'll be nice to see the new seasons of at least that show and Bel Air when that comes back. I think it won't be back till January, so it's going to be a little while on that end, but it'll be nice to see at least the Wonder Years and some other network shows. I don't watch a lot of the newer shows personally. I just can't get into it. I'm just too much of an old school guy. What can I say? I mean, the 90s to me were like the 60s and 70s for my parents, and the 50s for people that are much older. So I guess I've just never left the past and the good days and the good times. I just can't get into shows now. I don't know what it is. I think I just grew up with great stuff, with good taste and good quality, so anything nowadays is just never as good as the past. So that's probably why they keep bringing back these old things, because they know they worked and they know people will like them. So, yeah that and people are just too lazy to come up with new ideas is another thing, another reason. So, new season of television on the docket, you know, as much as I'm looking forward to some of these shows and for the new season, I have to say, like, generally speaking, television is definitely not as prominent of a media source like it once was. I mean, it definitely still has a place, but it's definitely gotten taken over by streaming stuff with apps and platforms like, you know, like Peacock and Hulu and whatever else is out there and Netflix and all that, you know. Yeah, this Paramount Plus has become big the last year. So I mean, it may get to a point where all these shows are going to maybe just be on streaming platforms. They may not even be on networks or syndication. Wouldn't that be crazy? Just like every channel just was on a platform. Like nothing was on cable anymore. I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being that way at some point. I really do. We shall see. Oh, and one other thing I want to mention, speaking of streaming stuff as we end the show here, I have to mention this because this really caught my attention, speaking of, you know, switching to streaming stuff. Days of Our Lives is leaving NBC for good after 57 years. Speaking of shows that have been on for 50 years or more, the soap operas as well, some of them, well that has, and Days of Our Lives is going to turn 50 in the new year in 2023, but still, Days of Our Lives is leaving NBC after 57 years on the air. It's not going away though, for those that are fans of it. It's just going to move to Peacock, where it'll stream its new content and continue there. But its last day on NBC is going to be Friday, September 9th. And for those that are already listening to this afterwards, it's gone. The end of an era on NBC daytime with Days of Our Lives. Wow. 57 years. Goodness. 57 years of that hourglass in the beginning. And it's the sands of the hourglass, so are the Days of Our Lives. So yeah, that's gonna be on, continuing on Peacock, for those that are interested. But still, yeah, they're pretty much just gonna replace that with news do we really need more news today? Like, there's already enough of it out there. Yeah, I say bring back the old game shows again, but they're probably not going to do that at this point, at least not for daytime. They found a home in primetime, but not daytime, I guess. You know, those days are gone, I guess, with the exception of, you know, The Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal, but still, boy, that's a landmark series that's coming to an end on a major network, so... Yeah, I've never been a big fan of that show, honestly. I don't watch it, but I did hear about that, so I had to share with everybody. I wouldn't be surprised if other shows follow suit. I wouldn't be surprised to see, like, you know, Young and the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful go to, like, Paramount Plus at some point, because that's where CBS has some of their shows on. So, yeah, that could happen. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, so, but so that's another one that's, you know, had a niche audience over the years of the soap operas. So that is going to be a big farewell on, at least on NBC. It won't be going away completely because it'll just go to Peacock. But if you don't get Peacock, this is going to be a very sad day for soap opera fans on Friday. Ugh, my goodness. Yeah, just one less hour. I'm probably not going to watch much of anyway, even after it's gone, because I don't watch much news. And I have to, speaking of news, I have to mention this, as everybody knows by now. Rest in peace to Queen Elizabeth II. Very sad. You know, I'm not a big follower of the royal family, but I definitely did hear about this, as well as everybody, I'm sure. Passed away at 96 after 70 years on the throne. Good Lord, 70 years. God bless her. That's a lifetime to be the Queen of England out there. Yeah, well, you talk about someone that dedicated their whole life to, you know, serving their country. That's amazing. That deserves a lot of respect. A lot of respect and love and praise to Queen Elizabeth and the whole family out there. So, yeah, very sad. It's been all over the news. Big story. So, yeah, that's kind of sad. Very sad. But anyway, on a happier note, we thank you for listening for Sports and Stuff. I hope everybody enjoyed the show this week. Next time I won't try to wait so long to do a podcast. I've just been focusing on other things right now. In the meantime, though, if you want to go back and listen to past episodes over the summer or any time you feel like going back, you can always listen to past episodes on our EPRN app, as well as our other podcast shows. You can download our EPRN app today and listen to any podcast you want out there, or if you want to put out your own podcast, that's always a possibility too. Also, if you'd like to contact me, you can contact me on really email is the best way to reach me. You can reach me at John Meisner at John Meisner 1991 at gmail.com. That's Meisner, if you don't know how to spell my name. So John Meisner 1991 at gmail.com is the best way to reach me. If you have a question or comment, or have something you want to say, I'd be glad to mention you on a future episode. I haven't gone onto our community group page much lately. I think I should be able to post content again. I was having a hard time for a while. I'm going to look into that again and see if that's fixed or not. But I've noticed a lot of people have been posting random strange content on there. I don't know how people found that and posted the stuff they have, but hopefully in the future we'll get back to more, you know, relevant stuff that actually people are paying attention to, as opposed to kind of silly stuff out there. But anyway, eventually we'll start posting more on there again. Just gotta, you know, find the time for it, but we'll make it work. Make it work, I promise. So until next time, folks, thanks very much for listening to Sports and Stuff this week. Really do appreciate it. Enjoy the end of summer and the beginning of fall. So for everyone involved behind the scenes at EPRN, I'm John Meisner, signing off of Sports and Stuff. You've been listening to Sports and Stuff on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network and wherever all podcasts are heard. Take care, everyone. Enjoy the Big E if you're local in Massachusetts. Enjoy the Franklin County Fair this weekend in Greenfield if you are local. If there's a fair or carnival out there in the month of September, get out there and enjoy the season. Enjoy the beginning of fall. Take care, everyone. So long.